Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm glad to present to you the session of protecting JavaScript source code in web runtime. My name is Roger Wang, and I'm from Intel Open Source Technology Center. And and half of my time, I'm working on Tizen, and the other half, I'm working on a project called Node WebKit, which is created earlier by myself. The idea of this presentation has been implemented in that project, with which you can try it today. And today I'm first going to reveal the problem statement with you, as well as the motivation. And then I'm going to introduce you the solutions today, which JavaScript programmers are using it. And then I will propose my idea for Tizen, and then we'll go through some internals of the implementation and the status and the considerations. So the JavaScript, the usage of JavaScript has been involved with the development of the web. In the early days of the web, JavaScript is mostly used for fancy animations on web page, and the web page is mostly written with contents in the HTML language. And at that time, people were often using an option in the browser to disable JavaScript when they don't want to see the animations. And now the web becomes more interactive, and the JavaScript code is used to write most of the logic of the web applications. It communicates with the server, updates the GUI in browser, and most of the applications just comes with an empty document and generate all the user face, all the users user interface on start. For example, the Gmail system has 400 of thousand lines of JavaScript code. And when the trend moves forward, more and more JavaScript will be used when the web page becomes applications, especially when you program in a web runtime environment, your applications could run offline, and there is no server, and all your code run on client side, so all you can use is JavaScript. And so the JavaScript programmers wants to protect their code sometimes. Today, they are using some technicals like put the central logic on the server side to protect their intellectual property. Or you can see as many websites build a business model that relies on the user and the data, and their core value it's not the code. Even if you take their code and you don't take their core values, because their core values are their users and data. But that will change when you program in a web runtime environment, when you program pure client-side applications. So today, JavaScript programmers has some ways to deal with this problem. The mostly used technical is minifying and obfuscation. Minifying means you transform your source code into a simpler form, replacing with the variable's name with very short ones. And obfuscation means it is kind of a transformation of the source code. There are many kinds of fancy transformations, like encoding and infix prefix, and so on. The idea is that the source code you are seeing is it's like a garbage, it is a valid JavaScript code. And once it goes through the JavaScript engine and run, the result of the computation or the transformation is the true source code. There are I'm listing three popular tools for this kind of purpose. The number one is from Yahoo, called Yahoo UI Compressor and Google Closure Compiler. I think the most popular one is the Google Closure Compiler. It doesn't only do the things for obfuscation or minifying. It also knows the dead code of your program and can just remove the dead code. And the other benefit of minifying of the JavaScript source code is that it makes the code smaller and makes time shorter to download from the server. So the page will load faster. So most of the website you are seeing today are using this technical. Next, we'll see an example. This is a bubble sort algorithm in JavaScript. On the left side, it is the original source code written by human. And on the right side is the output of the Google Closure compiler. So it looks it is shorter and it indeed looks hard to read. But after printing is it looks a little bit straightforward, and you can compare the code on the both sides. As you can see, they are basically similar, just the variable names are shortened. The algorithm is very simple, so you can actually read it from the minified code. But for a larger piece of code, it could be more difficult to read. The minifying or obfuscation is indeed it makes it harder for attacker or hacker to understand your program, but it is only a matter of time if he really wants to know how your programs works. And another kind of idea is called on-disk encryption. It may work like this. You upload your application to the store, and when the users install your applications on the real device, the web runtime will encrypt it for you. So if you break into the device or root it, all you can see on the disk is encrypted data. The on-disk encryption increases the time to hack, of course, and it will work in many scenarios. But the problem is, in the end, it will be decrypted on the device to be run in the JavaScript engine. And if your code is downloaded from the store in clear text, it is also a weakness because a hacker could dump the network data and just see it. You may think of use HTTPS transportation, but HTTPS transportation is mainly used to protect the transporting in the channel. But at the end point of the communication channel, it is meant to be decrypted, and a hacker can just see the decrypted content. It's a common misunderstanding that in the application developers that HTTPS will protect your content. That's not true at the end point of the communication channel. For example, you can launch a man-in-the-middle attack after you put a private certificate on a rooted device. I'll explain more on this. Suppose Alice is talking to Bob and Charlie wants to know what they are talking about. So Charlie went into the communication channel and make Alice think he is Bob. So then Alice talks to Charlie and Charlie talks to Bob. At the end point of the communication channel, Alice thinks Charlie is Bob, and Bob thinks Charlie is Alice. The HTTPS protocol, of course, it is designed to have this in mind. So it has it has ways to make sure the other end, the other party, is the one you want to talk about. It's not faked. So it uses the trusted certificate to ensure the other party is the one you want to talk about. But the trusted certificate must be deployed in advance to the real each end of the communication channels. So if you put a private trusted certificate on the rooted device and actually you can see all the HTTPS communication in the middle of the network. And And the decrypted JavaScript source code will be loaded in memory and into the JavaScript engine. And if you have a JavaScript debugger, you can easily see the source code with a function.toString, if you know the function name. The JavaScript language supports that. And by calling this function, you can see all the function code. And the attacker could just hook on the JavaScript engine calls. So the source code could be dumped when at the point when the when they went into the JavaScript engine. And of course, if you dump all the memory of the device, and you will see the source code because they are in memory. And there are another solutions to this problem. One is to put logic on the server. You put the call intellectual property, like some algorithm on the server side. And on the client side, you just launch some request to the server and get the result. But the issue of this solution is that you must be online, and the response time will be larger. And some other ways to write your program in other languages and compile to JavaScript. It is another kind of obfuscation. And our topic is mainly focused on the JavaScript programmers, those who write their program in JavaScript as their first language. So this is kind of out of our topic. The other suggested way is to put a license and hire a lawyer for your business, and that will add cost to your development and may or may not work in other countries. So our idea is straightforward. It's to compile JavaScript to machine code like you do for native or C++ applications. And here is how it would work. So there is a tool, a compiler in the development phase, and you compile your JavaScript code into binary, the machine code. And you specify that binary in your application's manifest. So the binary will be loaded with the web runtime, and of course you don't need to load the JavaScript source anymore. So you can remove the script tag from your HTML document, and then you could distribute only the binary with your applications. That would need the support from application store, or you just deploy it for each of the platforms you are going to support. This will work for the web runtime environment, but it will never work on web, because you cannot deploy binary on web since browser won't accept it, and anything on web has to be cross-platform. And once your application compiles to machine code, it is not cross-platform anymore. But this is the advantage of web runtime environment, because when your application is deployed, it is in a native environment. So there is not that kind of big problem if you deploy platform-specific versions of your applications. So in that sense, we are leveraging the differences between the web runtime and the browser environment. The two environments look a little bit very similar. Both they follow the W3C standard, and the language and the tools are both the same, but there is still a difference between them. That is how the applications is distributed and deployed. And I think more innovations comes leveraging this kind of difference. And I have implemented this as an experimental feature in the Node WebKit project. That project is for writing native applications with web technologies for the desktop environment. And somebody are actually using it. Most of the users are deploying, they are distributing binaries for each of the desktop platform that is Windows, Linux, and Mac. So package binary is not a problem for them. The implementation is working like this. Because the binary is going to be loaded into the web runtime and run with the JavaScript engine, so it has to be very related to the JavaScript engine, and you need to access all the object in heaps. And so actually, we are using the heap dumping feature of the V8 JavaScript engine. So it will dump the compiled machine code of your JavaScript function and all the related JavaScript object. It's called V8 snapshot. There are current limitations in the current implementation. One is the size limitation and the performance limitation. The V8 snapshot is designed to be used for loading the predefined functions faster at startup or on context creation. So it's not designed to dump a very large of the JavaScript code. And there are two compilers in V8. The first is called Full Code Gen, and another is called Crankshaft. Crankshaft compiles slower, but the code it compiles is actually faster. Currently, we are using the full CodeGen compiler in our tool. So we loaded the JavaScript tool and ran it through V8, and it got JITted or compiled, and then we dumped the compiled code onto the disk. And currently we are working on another prototype for Tizen. As you know, the Tizen is using WebKit, and the official JavaScript engine is JSC in WebKit. So we we are working on JSC API shim layer on top of V8, and we are working on a heap dumping feature for JSC as well. Here is the detail for the JSC API shim layer. It is a wrapper on top of V8 to provide the JSC public APIs. It's a derivative work from the Qt WebKit V8 project. It works like this. We on the build time, we switch to the V8 DOM binding in WebKit. But the problem is that WebKit has an extension mechanism like the injected bundle and plugin. And as you know, the device APIs for the Tizen web runtime is using injected bundle interface. So the extensions or plugins are the bundles or plugins are mostly using the JSC public APIs. So we have to provide a JSC API on top of V8. So the idea is that it's just simulate JSC with V8, and then we can use the V8 snapshot feature. So to wrap up, our idea is very straightforward. It's to compile JavaScript code to machine code and let the application developer redistribute it. So any other questions? Could you please use the microphone so others will hear?
Do you have sample implementation of the compiled JS that runs on
the
runtime?
Currently, today we only have a prototype you can try on the Node WebKit project. So there are instructions on the project pages, and you can try it. Currently, we can compile jQuery into into binary, and all the applications using jQuery will can be run.
And how's that performance? Is it increase the performance or running compiled binary? Theoretically, it would be better performance, right? Because it's already compiled.
Yeah, the performance is fast, but as I showed earlier, there are two compilers in V8. Currently, we are only use the first one. The first one is a little bit slower than the second one.
Which one are you using now?
The slower one, because it is easier to use.
The code gen?
Yeah.
Oh, my other question is, have you heard of the ACMJS? It's a...
I know it.
Optimize.
Right.
Using, by declaring variables type safe.
Right. ASM.js, .js falls into the that category, is compiled to JS.
Oh, I see.
It It is used
It's not human written. It's machine generated.
It's generally used for as a target for compiling C++ code to JavaScript. So,
it's still the ASCII, text base.
It is not for the program for the programmers who write their code in JavaScript. It's for the programmers who write their code in C++.
Actually, I have tried writing it.
Right.
The way there's like pages and pages that Mozilla.
Okay.
The ASM that old group had put out how to.
It's like the ASM.js is it acts as a back end for the compiler. So the compiler compiles the code that runs in ASM.js. Normally,
it's still JavaScript. It's just that the way it does the declarations,
it's like
of functions, for example, in a heap structure, because
it's like you are writing assembly code in on top of JavaScript.
But it's still JavaScript syntax and.
But it's
grammar and.
But it's very hard for programmers to write assembly code, right?
No, but it's this is a lot easier than it's JavaScript syntax and grammar. It's not like a binary. It's not like a intermediate language. It's just JavaScript. It's just that the way they declare variables and declare object structs.
I see.
It's more. Oh, they call it look ahead compilations.
Okay. I know.
Maybe you could go for the next questions and discuss that offline.
Okay, thanks.
Hi, Roger. I have actually some small question. That when you were talking about the downsides of on-disk encryption, you started by talking that upon installation, the code has to be decrypted from wherever it comes from a network, and when it's an open form, and when you have to re-encrypt it to the device. So there are actually techniques and which allow to completely kind of overcome this downside. It's called proxy re-encryption, and it was just one of the use cases for that technique is especially content protection.
Mm-hmm.
And it allows you to take the code or whatever is the data encrypted data from the which coming from from a remote server, and then without decrypting it first, re-encrypt it with the device local key. So you can do that. So it's not really a downside because the techniques exist for that. So
I see. It's good to know that.
It's not very complicated. It involves like both public crypto and public key crypto and the symmetric crypto, but it's just about key distribution. So
I see.
Just what you know.
Thanks.
What's the use of encryption when in the browser you could view JavaScript in plain text? You use an inspector or any debugger.
Right.
Plain text.
Right. So what's your question?
Excuse me, okay. Ryan. We have just 8 minutes, so let's make sure that everyone has a chance to make the questions.
So actually, I can comment on what you were just saying real quick, which is generally in a web runtime, there is no way to actually just go look at the JavaScript. Yes, there is in a browser, but for web runtime. So are you looking at enabling use of crankshaft as opposed to full cogen?
Yeah, I'm looking into it. The crankshaft works this way, and you have to train your code with some real data. So it will know the branch prediction in advance, so it generates faster code.
Okay.
So if we want to go this way, the developers must run it for some while and then dump the code.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Roger. Good presentation.
Actually, I didn't understand the compilation things, so let me understand a little bit more complicated case about intermediately generated closures. How do you handle that?
How do I handle what?
Closures.
Closures.
Yeah.
Do you mean the closure language?
For example, if you generate function during the execution, how do you compile that? So.
I see. The compilation works this way. You load your code into the JavaScript engine and let it run, and then the JavaScript engine will then the tool will let the JavaScript engine to dump all the objects in the heap, including the function and the closure, and then when your application starts, you just load the snapshot of the heap, and so all the environment that's more than just the code, it will be there.
Yeah, it works.
And V8, it is using this to load the many built-in functions like mass, regular expressions. So the context creation of V8 is faster.
Okay. I think as full code J is not as optimized as code crankshaft,
right.
So isn't it as easy as decompiling from like Java class to source code? Like, isn't it easy to decompile because it is using full code gen?
The code dumped by the crankshaft is actually easier to decompile, I think.
Than full code gen.
The crankshaft, I think. So, what's your question?
So my question is, it may be easy to decompile from binary to JavaScript.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It is still possible to decompile from machine code to JavaScript. Mm-hmm. That's true, I think.
Okay.
I'd like to ask some question about the JSC shim layer.
Uh-huh.
I am not so familiar with that. Could you explain a little bit more about the coverage of the JSCC API and their maturity level? If that layer can cover like 100% of the JSC uh-huh. API, then we might be able to use the V8 instead of JSC in the
right
runtime.
Right. JSC actually it has public APIs and internal APIs. And the shim layer only covers, tries to cover the public APIs. The public API is a relatively smaller set, and the users of the internal API is mainly the DOM binding and some of the EFL platform code. So we are just using the V8 DOM binding code in WebKit, so it will save a lot of work. And the injected bundle and plugin only use the public APIs. Mm-hmm. So I think only providing the public API is feasible. But we still need to modify the code accessing the internal APIs in the EFL platform code, but that is not very much.
Can I ask one more question?
Sure.
Okay. I see.
Okay.